Any guesses? That is the sound of a spitting mad tiger named Zolushka being returned to the wild. It was recorded by the International Fund for Animal Welfare. It is a welcome sound to conservationists and one that people are hearing more often in India and in Russia, where it has not been heard for a long time. Vicky Croak covers animal issues for us at Here and Now and joins us in the studio. Vicky, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing well. And it sounds like the tigers are doing well, too, that this is all good news for the tiger population.
It's rare that we get a nice week like this where we get two bits of good news. But it has been a week of good news for wildlife watchers because India has just released data showing that the tiger population there is rebounding. And scientists in Russia are celebrating the success of one female tiger. And it's a success so good that it's being compared to a fairy tale.
Hmm.
So should we start with the fairy tale?
Yes, go ahead. Take us through it.
This is a story of a once-lost tiger cub who not only survives, but is recolonizing, repopulating a once-lost tiger territory, which really is a conservationist idea of a fairy tale. The tiger is a young female named Zolushka, which is the Russian equivalent of Cinderella.
Hmm.
Two hunters found her in the winter of 2012, and the poor thing, she was such a pathetic sight. She was starving, frostbitten, an almost dead tiger cub, really not much more than a striped bag of bones lying in the snow. She'd been orphaned, her mother probably killed by poachers. And taking pity on her, the hunters threw a coat over her and carried her to the local wildlife inspector. Biologists, some of them with two big international wildlife groups based here in the United States, the Wildlife Conservation Society and the International Fund for Animal Welfare, worked to help her, even having to amputate about a third of her frostbitten tail.
But she was able to survive.
That's right. And here we should cue the theme music, you know, not from Cinderella, but maybe Rocky, because Zolushka was released into the wild and after having an outward bound kind of boot camp where she had minimal contact with humans, but maximum contact with prey animals. And she learned to hunt and to cache her food. That's to, you know, bury her leftovers in the snow. And when they thought she was ready after more than a year of rehab, they brought her to the Bastok Nature Reserve in the Russian Far East, one that, because of habitat loss and poaching, hasn't seen tigers in 40 years.
And we heard the sound of her furiously leaping back to freedom a minute ago.
That's right. She took off running. She immediately went to work. There was evidence right away that she had killed and eaten a badger. And then shortly after that, she brought down a wild boar. So, you know, Jeremy, we're talking about a pretty tough, hardcore kind of Cinderella. And, you know, her wardrobe would be more ice cleats than glass slippers.
Well, then I have to ask you, was this one of Vladimir Putin's tigers, one of the tigers that Putin helped release who crossed over into China from time to time?
No, Zolushka is even more of a pioneer. She was released in the spring of 2013 and those Putin tigers in 2014.
Okay. So what has biologists so excited about this Cinderella story now?
Well, they think that Zolushka, Cinderella, has landed a tiger prince. I spoke with Dale McKell. He's running the Russia program for the Wildlife Conservation Society, and he gives us the update.
Zolushka, or Cinderella, recently has met her prince, meaning that a male tiger has wandered into this area from quite far away. Somehow he showed up in the same area where Zolushka is. And so the prince has found Cinderella, and we found them traveling together over the last year. She's still young. She's still very much a princess, but we're hopeful in the very near future that she's going to produce cubs. And so this is a story not just about one young tiger surviving and returning to the wild, but it's about recolonizing an area where tigers no longer exist.
So can these two, in a way, become the Adam and Eve of this entire area and repopulate it?
Well, no, they can't. But, you know, they're a start. There are only about 400 or 500 of these tigers in the Russian Far East. So Zolushka, she's 3.5 years old, and that's about the start of breeding age. There are hopes that the camera traps in the reserve might collect some pictures of Zolushka with a young cub or two soon. But besides that, Dale McKell of WCS says that the area is better protected now and has a very high densities of prey, wild boar and red deer. There's plenty to eat. And just as that male tiger found his way in, there are bound to be others. And there are other orphaned Amur tigers who've been released or in the pipeline going through rehabilitation just like Zolushka. A new census is starting now, and it's hoped it will show an increase in the overall population.
And when you say Amur tiger, are you talking about a Siberian tiger there? Why do you use the different term?
Yeah, it's interesting. Almost all of us have grown up calling Russian tigers Siberian tigers, but today scientists refer to them as Amur tigers, after a very large river which is central to their habitat. No one will get mad at you for saying Siberian, but Dale McKell explained what I think is the shocking truth about tigers in Siberia, which I found really interesting.
probably the Amur tiger is more accurate from a scientific perspective. Siberian tigers don't live in Siberia, which is a little ironic. This part of Russia is called the Russian Far East. Siberia is really the central core of Russia. We're outside of the area that Russians call Siberia. And Amur tigers really never lived in Siberia.
You learn something new every day. Well, there are tigers in India, and their numbers are on the rise, according to a new survey. How significant is the rise there?
This seems to be really great news, though. As I expected today, some biologists are questioning the methodology here, and the figures might end up getting toned down. But basically, a new government census came out just days ago showing that the tiger population in India has grown by 30% in just 4 years, up to 2,226. Less than 10 years ago, that number was only about 1,400.
Wow.
So if that number stands or anything even close to it, we're still talking about a significant increase.
And what do they attribute that to?
Fighting poachers mainly, that's the main solution, as well as expanded efforts to find and rehabilitate orphan cubs. They've also been enticing people, paying people to move out of protected tiger areas. And they're working on tiger corridors, those safe passageways connecting tiger habitat.
What does this mean, Vicky Croak, for tigers all around the world?
Well, India has 70% of the world's tiger population. So when they're doing well, it is significant. And tigers now, they live in less than 7% of their historic range. Three subspecies have gone extinct in the last 80 years. That's tough stuff. The biggest cat, the biggest threat of extinction, but it makes the news from India especially heartening since conservationists think that upward trend stands a good chance of continuing. I mean, they could add another 1,000 or 1,500 in the next decade. And Zolushka has shown us every tiger counts.
Well, and we heard Zolushka with her very happy tiger sound, although it sounded kind of scary to me. But maybe we should leave our audience with a nice happy tiger sound.
This is called a chuff, and it's the tiger equivalent of a purr.
That's an animal making that sound?
That's right.
Wow, it sounds like a machine.
Well, we could do it. We're happy tigers.
Vicky Croak, part-time tiger, part-time animal correspondent for Here and Now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And before we go to break, a couple of notes about the snowstorm that is still battering New England. It is winding down in New York City with less snow falling there than expected. Today, Mayor Bill de Blasio defended his decision to close the subway system overnight.
Even though we didn't see the worst, it's still very cold out there. It's still very slippery. You're driving around, you do need to take precautions. It will be slower. I saw a few accidents along the way as I was driving around.
Meanwhile, a National Weather Service forecaster in New Jersey apologized on Twitter today for getting the snow totals wrong. And officials say they will take a closer look at how that happened so they can get it right next time. I don't know if anybody should be blaming the meteorologist. Maybe it's the computer's fault. Bands of heavy snow, by the way, are part of the problem in forecasting this storm. East of the city, New York City on Long Island, more than 2 feet of snow have fallen, and it is still snowing in Massachusetts.